What we're going to do is open our Bibles to Hebrews 10, and we are going to tonight practice the 24th and the 25th verse. Now, first, I'm going to go through it with you. Then, we're going to remind ourselves at our communions throughout this year, we are going to go over and over the Confessing Church handout that was in the bulletin on our Fellowship Sunday. These 7 points are kind of the bedrock of biblical doctrine of salvation. But first, it says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us consider one another. Considering one another is looking upon one another as who we truly are. You've heard someone sizes someone up. You know, the interviewer will size up the interviewee, or the business buyer will size up, you know, the person that's making the deal with them. And it's kind of like you figure them out so you know how you deal with them. We're supposed to, using the biblical portrait of who we are, to consider one another. And that's why we're going to go through these elements of salvation. We have to look on each other and say, I know that I'm forgiven, and if I'm forgiven, I'm supposed to be forgiving to you because I've been forgiven so much. See, as soon as we look on each other as fellow forgiveners, by God, we've been forgiven, it changes everything, because the Lord says, how can you not forgive someone when I've forgiven you so much? In fact, he told a real sad story about the man who wouldn't forgive little debts after he'd been forgiven a gigantic debt. To me, my sins are gigantic. Yours are really little compared to mine, because yours don't really affect my eternity. Mine do. And my sins are really little compared to yours, because they are what will sink you forever into the lake of fire. And so you see, we have a whole different, if we consider one another, Hebrews 10, 24, in a biblical way, everyone looks like a little sinner compared to us, who should be the greatest sinner we know. This person. If you point at yourself, you should be the worst sinner you know. Why? Maybe Stalin or Hitler did more egregious acts against the Lord, but their sins will never sink you, only your own. So see, I'm the worst. I'm the most guilty. I'm the most deserving of punishment. So, verse 24, we consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Our goal is not to stir people up and have them find their tempers. You know, people lose them. They haven't. They find them all the time. And we're supposed to stir them up for two things, love and good works. Love is a self-sacrificing, following Christ's example way of life. And good works is also like Christ. He went around doing good. In fact, that's how he's described in the book of Acts. Jesus went around doing good. And then, this is all what we're doing as we're getting ready and preparing. This is how you prepare for church. But verse 25 says, as we assemble ourselves together, we are supposed to put feet, or actually voice, to all those considerations, the sizing up we're doing. And we're supposed to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So what we're going to do tonight is, we're going to reaffirm our faith in Christ through these seven statements. I'm going to read these tonight, just the top two lines. The rest is the underlying truth, but we're just going to reaffirm those top lines. And we want to remember who we are, that we are forgiven, justified, regenerated, reconciled, adopted, redeemed, and sanctified. And then what we're going to do is, we're going to actually take a moment to open our Bibles. Now, some of you didn't bring a Bible. Some of you don't even know the God of the Bible. I understand in a group this size, there's all of that. But what we're going to do is we're going to, in a few moments, get into these non-threatening groups. By non-threatening group, no one's going to make you do anything except the Lord. He'll prompt you, if you belong to him, to share something. And we're going to share what it says in verse 25. We're going to share an exhortation. We practice with the baptism people. I said, hey, at communion, you're going to share something. What are you going to share? Let's practice. And they all thought for a minute, and they opened to one of the passages of Scripture that they love to go to. Most of us have an area we like. You know, if no one tells us where to read in the Bible, or we're not on a plan, we go back there. We love it. And we just hover in that area. That might be what you want to share tonight. Let's read all seven of these, just the first two lines, the bold stuff that you can see on that, okay? And let's read it out to the Lord, because I am losing my voice. Here we go. Number one, I am forgiven. God has removed my debts. I am justified. God has changed my state. I am regenerated. God has transformed my heart. I am reconciled. God has become my friend. I am adopted. God has changed my family. And by the way, he surrounded you. This is your family. Number six, I am redeemed. God has changed my ownership. And number seven, I am sanctified. God has changed my behavior, and there's an element of sanctification that is ongoing, and it should be God is changing my behavior. There should be a measurable decrease. You know, it was real neat. Bonnie and I were driving somewhere. One of the nicest things my wife has said to me was on Friday. She said to me, she said, you were remarkably kind in me being late. And I thought, you mean I'm not normally that way? Obviously not. And so I thought, wow, there is a measurable decrease in wrong responses in all of our lives. That's what sanctification is. So now, with that in mind, take your Bible and open it to your favorite place where you want to share a verse. And then turn, don't walk all over the place, just turn and somehow get facing three or four or five people. And we are going to go around in a circle and share those verses unhurriedly for about, the next 6 to 10 minutes. So, okay, so now turn with your Bibles open and find a group that you feel comfortable with and share in a circle. Okay, everyone, thanks for sharing. If you slowly make your way back around to your chair, and as soon as you find it, you can be seated. I just want to ask you, how many of you practiced Hebrews 10, 24, and 25? You tried to exhort someone tonight. Hold your hand up real high. Okay? You tried to do that. You shared a verse. Okay? If you shared a verse, hold your hand up. Ah, you didn't know what exhorting is. Exhorting is, you share a verse that you have targeted and prayerfully wanted the Lord to use, and whose word is it? His. So who promised that his word would never return void? The Lord. So all we're supposed to do is the sharing, and he does the working in the heart. So don't be handicapped by thinking, I need, some guru to share the word with them. I can't do it. I'm insufficient in myself. That's true. We are, all of us, because the power is of the Lord, not of us. You understand that? It's us just saying, Lord, I'm going to share a verse. Did you know I preached my heart out this morning, and someone came up to me and they said, I was so convicted about my finances this morning. I thought, about your finances. I don't believe I spoke on finances this morning. And you know what? They were completely moved and made all these decisions and are surrendering to the Lord their finances, and I did not talk about finances. And you know what? That was such a blessing to me, because that means as long as we do what we're called to do, God always does what he promised he would do. It is the Lord who changes heart. It's the Lord who works within. It's the Lord who convicts and moves and shapes us. All we have to do is be obedient and faithful. So, tonight, the scriptures say that we are to gather together and to stir one another up through sharing the word of God, and you've done that. The next thing we're supposed to do is remember the one who made all this possible. So let's bow our heads and prepare for this time. And if any of you still haven't gotten to the back and ready to serve, you can go now. And for the rest of us, let's take this time to make sure we have clean hands and pure hearts. Because for Christians to partake of the Lord's Supper without confession and turning from any known sin and receiving Christ's wonderful, wonderful cleansing for that moment, for us to not do that, we incur God's judgment upon our lives. So it's always proper to bow and prepare for communion. So we'll do that for just a couple minutes silently where you're sitting. Thank the Lord for what he's done on the cross. Ask for his cleansing. And then we will thank him and begin to be served. Oh Lord, we thank you for pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus, shed freely on the cross that cleanses us not from some sin, not just from here and there sins, but from all unrighteousness. If we haven't been forgiven of all our sins, then we haven't been forgiven of any. Because you don't give your Spirit by measure, and you don't mete out your forgiveness. It is full and free and complete. So we celebrate tonight that we are completely forgiven by your sacrifice. And Father, we thank you for this bread that your servants are going to serve to us. But as they serve it to us, may they have the joy of standing in for you. Because every celebration of communion, it was you, Lord Jesus, who served the disciples. So thank you that we have leaders and servants in our church that can represent you. May they know great joy in standing in for you at this communion service. And for all of us, may it be as if you, with your nail-pierced hand, is offering us a piece of bread, saying, "Don't ever forget what it cost me to forgive you." Thank you that we were able to behave as your stirring up, verse sharing, encouraging and exhorting church tonight because of your death in our behalf. Bless us as we celebrate through the bread tonight, you who gave yourself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.